Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Automotive Axles Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call, hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sailesh Raja from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Inba. Good afternoon, and thanks to everyone who has logged in to Automotive Axles 2Q FY23 earnings conference call. Today we have the senior management team of the company, Mr. Muthukumar N, President and COO, Meritor HVS India Limited, Mr. Nagaraja, President and Whole Time Director, Automotive Axles, and Mr. Ranganathan, CFO, Automotive Axles. Now I would now like to turn the call to Mr. Muthukumar for the opening remarks, followed by the Q&A. Sir, you may begin now.
Thank you, Sailesh. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, happy to be back with you, and I'm sure that every one of you will be good and safe. Just wanted to give you, before starting the regular about Meritor, about the Cummins Meritor, this better together. All of you know that, we'd be eager to hear from this. As indicated earlier, the integration process is going on smoothly. We are around day 90 after the official integration between both the companies. The statements of both Cummins President and CEO, Ms. Jennifer Rumsey, says, "We're excited to welcome Meritor employees into Cummins. Together, Cummins and Meritor will move further and faster in developing economically viable decarbonized powertrain solution." Ladies and gentlemen, you all know that Cummins is targeting towards going to Destination Zero in order to make this Mother Earth a much, much better place to live for the future, and the same is with Meritor, a great combination working. The chairman of our JV, Dr. Baba Kalyani, conveyed his wishes to the team, and he feels that this is going to be bringing great changes to the organization, and it's also for good for the future. I think both the team, Jennifer and of the Group President and CEO Global and Dr. Baba Kalyani, conveys their best wishes to the members of this shareholders of Automotive Axles. With that introduction, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that you will have a lot of questions at the end. I'm going to answer it back, but I'm requesting Nagaraja to talk about where are we now in terms of our footprint, how the business is, what is the activities that we are doing in our sustainability, and what are the products that we are using, followed by Mr. Ranganathan will talk to you about the financials for the quarter and how we are performing. I'll come back to you on the last slide on what is the focus for continuously improve the current situation. With that introduction, ladies and gentlemen, over to Mr. Nagaraja for the general introduction. Over to you, Nagaraja.
Hey, thanks, Muthu. Just a question here, which slide we are in?
We are in slide 3. Slide 3, Nagaraja. Snapshot Q2 FY23.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Again, good afternoon. Nagaraja here. As you can see here, while Ranga is going to touch upon the revenues separately, we've been doing reasonably well in terms of revenue, EBITDA and PBT. Just to give you a brief background about our manufacturing location and everything, we have 4 manufacturing locations. Mother plant is in Mysore, and we have satellite plants in both Jamshedpur, Pantnagar, and have a warehouse in Hosur mainly to support the customer for the last mile. We have 2,000+ employees. We have customers, you know, all the major OEs, we supply our products, and our products consist of our axles, brakes, and suspension systems. As you can see, as far as independent manufacturer is concerned, excluding the OEs who have got a backward integration, we are number one in axle and number two in brakes. Next slide, please. Muthu did mention about the green initiative and especially sustainability roadmap. It's not just that we are supplying a product to meet the market demands, but how do we manufacture them? How do we ensure that there is a good balance between our industrial activities and then still maintain Mother Earth? So we started off the journey in 2017. As you can see, we started introducing green energy. We were about 20% at that point of time. But over the last 5 years, there's a significant improvement have been made. We not only, now we are about 70% of our energy is coming out of renewable energy. And then we are also focusing heavily on, controlling the emissions in all parts of our manufacturing activity. There was one mandate just about a month ago. We talked to the suppliers and we started encouraging our supplier also to, embrace these green technologies in every aspect of manufacturing. So on the right side, we are looking at how is the, the main six pillars of our model. One is, starting off with, the green energy, what I talked about, how do we sustainably manufacturing, whether it's a use of water or elimination of some of the substances which are hazardous to environment. We also started working on the IoT, which is basically Internet of Things. In fact, as we speak, two of our production lines have been completely digitized. And then we continue to work with the society, whether it is education or, planting trees or connecting with, other layers in the society, team has been fully engaged. Corporate governance is one thing. Our board is very, very, I would say that very, very focused in that area, and the board has been guiding us to ensure that not just in our corporate function, but at all levels, including all the stakeholders, we're focusing on that. Next slide, please. Okay, as you can see, we are catering to the diverse markets and, almost all the customers, both in India, also globally, whether it's a truck, trailer, or the aftermarket, or even as there is a renewed focus coming on the military, especially, Make in India, we continue to support that. Focus going forward will be more on the off-highway, where we have looking at developing a specific solution and having Cummins knowledge and capability in the off-highway is going to really help us. We continue to Ashok Leyland still remain our largest customer. But we are expanding and adding more products with the other customer, whether it's Tata, Mahindra, or Daimler. So we also export to UD from India, and we can also continue to do more exports to the other Mediter locations. So with that, I'll pass it on to Rangav to go through the financials.
Thank you, Nagraj. Thank you, Muthu. On the financial results, hope you would have all of you seen the performance, but we'll just give a quick snapshot. The revenue for the quarter is about 475 crores as compared to 310 crores the last year same quarter. The revenue growth of 54%, and EBITDA is about 51 crores as compared to 23 crores last year the same quarter. The EBITDA percentage, what we see is about 10.7 versus 7.5, which is close to about 45% increase. With PBIT stands at 8.5 as compared to 4.5 last quarter. So So PBIT level, the percentage growth is close to about 89% thanks to the volumes and also the cost performance. As far as the half-year performance is concerned, the half-year revenue growth is 977 crores as compared to 566 last year same quarter. EBITDA, it's about 104 crores for the 6 months at 10.7% and compared to 39 crores last year at 7% the same year. PBIT, we were at 8.4 for the first half year with 82 crores on absolute values. Last year, the same 6 months, the PBIT at 3.8% with 21.7 crores as an absolute values. Overall basis, the volume definitely yielded a good amount of leverage, as well as the material cost and other conversion cost performances also driving the bottom line in spite of the heavy commodity impact we may observe in the first 6 months. With this introduction, probably I'll ask Muthu to take over the growth through Mission 25 strategies as well as the key actions going forward. Muthu.
Thank you, Ranga. One minute, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe I can touch base on the growth initiative.
Yeah, you can finish up the growth.
Okay. So all of you, as far as the growth is concerned, all of you know 21-22, the MHCV market is close over 300,000 levels. As of now, we are anticipating the whole year 22-23 at 375,000 to 380,000 vehicle level. So definitely, we as an organization is focusing on the grow revenue. We will be at the market. We try to work on to grow beyond the market growth. We try to, our growth rates, we always try to aim at growing a little ahead of the market growth rate. So our focus continues on that. As part of the Mission 25, enhanced profitability is a very, very, very key initiatives. All of you are noticing it when the market goes ups and downs, we are able to control the cost and try to bring the reasonable profitability as the volume desires. So, and new business wins, Muthu and team is continuously working with on almost all segments in terms of the enhancing the share of business or focusing to how the aftermarket business or enhancing the export business. So, operational excellence, through the material performance or IoT, definitely is a key focus. We are working on it. We are also working on the digitization as well as the paperless office initiatives part of operation excellence. Every function in automotive actually is working on the excellence in their own function, which gives an overall operational excellence, which brings a consistent and cost benefit in the long term. Customer focus and customer value is always your key focus area, which comes through the value proposition to the customer, in terms of the both of the cost, delivery, as well as the new product introductions. And as overall outlook, the market is looking better. We hope we may, and the market is will be better than the previous quarter. I will definitely perform as the market and the volumes for the Q3. So as I said, the focus will continue as on Industry 4.0. Commodity definitely is getting softened, maybe in the second half of the year. Probably will definitely have some advantage going in the second half of this financial year. Our focus continues on the operational excellence, conversion cost, and other material cost performances. And there are key actions broadly, safety our primary focus. So we work on all the safety measures, employee first, safety first, and also we are also taking the ESG as Nagaraja has explained earlier, through the green initiatives. So we are continuous focus on those things, make sure that the green initiatives, not only in automotive axle, and also the entire value chain. So though COVID is softened and more or less it has got off settled down, but we are also continuously taking care of the entire system as well as the employees that the COVID pressure on the whole system is low. As far as the cost measures are concerned, definitely, our M25 initiatives, through the operational excellence, definitely we'll continuous focus on the cost performance matrices. More importantly, the commodity price changes, we are closely watching on and managing the business. That doesn't really affect the total performance. As a business growth strategy, all of you have known last time Muthu also mentioned that we have signed up a long-term agreement with our key supplier, key customer, Ashok Leyland, as well as we won a gold award for a great cost savings as a value proposition to Ashok Leyland. So we got that award last time. Again, as a matter of fact, the focus on export definitely continues. Definitely, we are seeing good opportunities, and definitely, our organization would benefit in the coming days. Improve the operational performance, increase the share of business OE. That's always a focus area for our front-end team. So we are working with all OE customers. And we are also constantly looking at the product development as one of the strategic initiatives to give a value proposition as well as to get a better position with the customers. Digitization and, as I said, the paperless office continues drives across the organization as a part of the green initiatives. With this brief performance update to all of you, we are open for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ranga. Just before we open to questions, ladies and gentlemen, on the slide number 5, where the circular economy, where Nagaraj presented, to go to the bottom of the slide, it shows what is the initiative that your company is taking towards migrating to renewable power. There's a small spelling mistake. The replacing of LPG with LNG is not in December 22, it's by December 23. I just wanted to bring it to your notice. Sorry for the typographical error. With that, I think, Shailesh, you can take it forward for the question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Chetan Gindodia from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Mr. Gindodia, if you're on speaker mode, please switch to handset. We can't hear you very clearly.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. So I wanted to understand what are the initiatives that are taking to grow ahead of the CV industry and to increase our content for vehicles. That's the first question. Second question is with respect to our new suspension product and products to increase our share in the LCV market. What is the update on this? And if you can also share the revenue breakup between brakes and axles, that would be great.
Okay, I will, thanks for your questions. I'll answer one by one. I think in terms of the growing revenue, Ranga explained to you very well and what are the areas, the initiatives that we are doing, and we want to be ahead of the market. You would have very well seen that our growth in the market in terms of top line is better than the market growth in commercial vehicle segment, particularly 7.5 times and above. So your company will continue to innovate the products, introduce the products that is needed for the new application, and keep on going. The second question in terms of addition of the adjacencies or addition of the value. See, we will continue to improve on the content per axle. Content per vehicle is one, content per axle by increasing the bracketry and all to the customer. But in terms of adjacencies, you know that we have introduced the suspension, which is what the third one. The relaunch of the product at this point of time is doing well. We will continue to grow in that segment. I think maybe next 1 year you will see the substantial quantum of suspensions is being sold from the company from its releases at the wholesale. Sorry, gentlemen, you wanted a split between the brakes and axles. That you know, as a policy, we don't share normally the share of business with the customers, our shares between different verticals, and also our export content. I'm sorry, and regret I'm not able to provide you that information at this point in time. Thank you very much. Hope that clarifies. We'll go to the next question.
Yes. Thank you. Just as a follow-up, wanted to understand now with Cummins coming up as a partner, is there any change likely to our relationship with the subsidiary, Meritor subsidiary? And, you know, is there a plan for merger or increasing our share of business, wallet share with the other non-Ashok Leyland OEMs also?
Partnership between Cummins and Meritor, it brings an enormous opportunity for us to explore the new things. There are many customers where Cummins is present very strongly in the relationship where we can penetrate. At the same time, there are a lot of customers where Meritor is present strongly where we will have an explore what can be done for Cummins. The management team, we are working very strongly. At this point of time, the relationship between both the partners are going very strong, and we are working out a long-term strategy. We don't have any plans at this point of time of doing any changes to the existing structure what we have in terms of the JV.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for opportunity, sir. Congratulations for good numbers. Sir, the presentation, Mr. Ranga clearly mentioned that commodity price softening will definitely help us by second half. Up to now, we were not able to take any benefit. So would you like to talk about the possibility of maybe margin, if not numbers, what the scope of reducing costs and what type of benefits it will give?
Thank you, Mr. Kothari, for asking this question. I can understand your anxiety in getting the margins expanded than us. Really appreciate. I think Ranga touched upon the point that commodity is softening and it is going to ease out a little pressure. But all of you know, when the commodity went up, all of you have appreciated that we are able to do back-to-back with the customers and trying to recover the money. The same thing will happen when the commodity comes down and we'll be passing on to the customers in the commodity. Of course, there is a little time difference which is going to be money, but I want to be very, very fair that the commodity goes up and down. Other than the base impact in terms of the percentage, it's not going to have a huge impact into our bottom line. Ranga, please correct me if I'm wrong on that particular statement.
You're absolutely right, Madhu. So definitely, the commodity as a principle, whether it's going up or going down, we have a specific understanding with the customers to pass on to them. Definitely, the commodity softening, definitely they'll also have a stake and they'll definitely pass on to them. And so, end of it, it's no gain or no loss for us. Only thing is, other than that, it creates either a base impact, either in terms of the percentage, either plus or minus, depends on metal going up or down. So.
Okay. And so my second question is, with Cummins coming in, may not be in a very near term, next 12, 18 months, but over a period, do you feel there is a scope to bring some products which enhance our market size? If you can talk a little bit, what the possibility without mentioning any numbers?
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for this question, but obviously, at this point of time, I know many of you have attended Mr. Ashwath, the managing director, coming investing call a couple of days before, and it is too early for us to predict that what product we are going to bring in adding. Please understand that axles is a different vertical and the engines is and components is a different vertical. And while we will be bringing in a lot of synergies in terms of scales, in terms of access, in terms of growth and revenue, it's going to take a little more time for bringing in a product because both the products are unique by nature and it's not immediately we can merge these two. So we are discussing on strategically on what all could be the potential opportunity in a short term and in a long term and continue to work. But rest assured that this is going to bring in great opportunity for the organization and it's going to make this organization to grow exponentially. That's for sure.
Great to hear, sir. And my last question is, sir, looking at the performance, we already crossing the all-time high numbers of our revenue, hopefully, by this year, which we have done in 2018-19. And looking at the overall economy and the demand, would you like to talk about the industry demand scenario on the ground, what you are observing, what's your expectation for maybe next year? How you see this MH medium to heavy and other products moving on?
As you rightly said, with the current indication of what we have completed first two quarters, we already crossed about 950 crores. And as you rightly said, looking at the market projection for the next two quarters, we will definitely cross our previous peak of 2018, even though the market has come back only to 70 to 75% of 2018 peaks. This itself can answer to many of you that we are growing, outgrowing the market growth, having said that first. So your organization, your company will continue to focus on the growth, and we will reach the milestones much before our competition does it. But in terms of the industry growth, as you said, the industry is growing very, very strong and steady. While the commodity prices in India is softening, steel prices is coming down. There are certain, I will talk about some of the factors that could influence the market rather than what we are talking about. The Russian Ukraine war continuing is putting a lot of stress onto the European system, and the cost of Europe in terms of the power, everything has gone up. This sets up a big advantage for India for doing more and more exports from India to the other countries. You know, the cost of living or the inflation is high in North America and also in Europe, which, and also the dollar depreciating against dollar, whereas appreciating against other currencies, is going to give a distinct advantage for India in terms of exports. But in terms of the local inflation, because of that, the fleet operators, even though the fleet utilization is gone up at the peak now, still the fleet operators are finding it extremely difficult to take a decision to invest money in terms of buying vehicles. The availability of funds is also a concern for them in terms of the load. These are certain impediments that can be done, but looking at the pent-up demand between 2018 and now, a lot more, even though we were talking about COVID, even before 6 quarters before COVID, the market has come down for medium and heavy commercial. There is a good demand available for this. You need to have a right product. It's not the same product what we sold in 2018 is getting sold now. We're getting a bigger truck, bigger axle, and new ICV platforms are coming in. So I believe that the market between this year and next year is set to grow at least about 15% in the next year to come. It will grow. This is the current prediction. But the recession, what is going to, the talk about the recession in the global market, particularly in North America and Europe, may have some impact to us. But we strongly believe that the prediction currently, the India GDP is going to drop only by a point, which means the commercial vehicle segment will still continue to grow, is what our prediction.
Great, sir. Thanks a lot.
You would have seen the latest analysis on the medium and heavy commercial. The industry predicts that by FY24 itself, we will reach the previous peak. Originally, in earlier investor calls, we are told by FY25, we will get in back to the FY18 numbers. But the latest prediction in the market, even though with a 1% drop in GDP, the research predicts that in 2014 itself, the India will test the 2018 numbers, or surpass the numbers. But ladies and gentlemen, just believe me, it's not the question of numbers alone. In terms of the tonnages, we would have already crossed it because we have gone in for a bigger vehicle, bigger axle, and bigger tonnage. If you calculate again 2018 numbers in terms of the tonnage, we are already on top of it.
Right, sir. Thanks a lot. Wish you good luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Viraj Kacharya from Securities Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Just two questions. First is on the off-highway piece. You know, so with Cummins coming in, you briefly talked about off-highway being an opportunity for growth. Can you elaborate, you know, what is a addressable market opportunity, what kind of products, you know, one can kind of look at, and who are the major players who are currently serving the market?
Thank you for this question. It is a very good lead, and I would like to say that yes, Cummins do have a very strong presence in off-highway. Forget about the global market, in India market, and that gives a big avenue for automotive axles to get into this. In terms of the product, whether it is a backhoe loader, it is in terms of crane, we are continuing to have the product bringing into India and try to see the market. As you see, we have definitely grown in both in terms of exports and off-highway when compared to what we were at about 2014 or in 2018. But the thing is, it takes a lot of time because of a lot of new products need to be developed because the Indian volumes of off-highway is much, much lower. Whether we are going to do a lot of export from India to outside, that's where. So we will definitely work. Already we are working very closely with Cummins to find out what type of opportunities available and how we can go to the customer together. And these are the synergies we'll come to know in next 2 quarters, maybe at some point of time when we're going to address the investor call together with the Cummins management.
But any perspective you can share? I mean, the off-highway space, I mean, just from an India perspective, what would be the market opportunity, you know, and for Axles and related products, and who are the other major players competing in the market there?
There are a few players, somebody from overseas and somebody from India, but I don't want to name about competition in this investor call. And but there are a good presence available in terms of the local players and also global players. But as I said, this market is a quite good market. And definitely, the actual market is about for the axle is quite good. And even if we capture about 20% of the market, it will give a substantial increase in our top line. I think that's what. But you see, the biggest challenge here is most of the off-highway customers in India, they have a captive axle manufacturing. You know, JCB in India is a big customer, but they have a captive manufacturing. That's where the biggest challenge. Demel has their captive manufacturing. These are the things which puts are very, very difficult, challenging, but it's not that it's not achievable. We'll be able to, definitely able to penetrate and go because of the product premium or product superiority that Meritor has, Cummins Meritor has.
Okay. Second question was largely on the export piece. You know, you briefly talked about the opportunity in terms of the cost of manufacturing in US, Europe. You know, so we have been making efforts for the last many years now. But, you know, if I have to look at, say, the new parent, Cummins, they were historically had a very strong focus on exports, and for them, India is one of the most cost-competitive markets, you know, globally. So for us, you know, if I have to look at, say, over the next, say, 5-7 years kind of a thing, pretty long-term, how should one understand our export evolution post-Cummins coming in?
Typically, like what you said, Cummins is an organization which is very supportive of exports and joint ventures. And also, they have been a strong believer that India is a great company to do best cost sourcing. So we will be definitely accelerating our journey towards export. See, earlier it was a little different because of the product segment that we have been serving. You know, there's a huge logistics lead time which the customers are looking at. And, you know, we have manufacturing across all over the world. So with this, that definitely there's going to be a lot of shift, a lot of good value addition that's going to come from India in terms of not only the axles and brakes, but also in sub-assemblies and components that we're going to export from this. Wait for a few quarters to tell us, because we are not giving you the numbers, you are not able to really see the growth in exports, what we are doing. It's not that we are doing great, but definitely we are inching towards, but this will be an accelerated process. But we'll be able to give you a concrete the plan maybe in about next 2 quarters to see that how much we are going to do once the entire integration process is over and our strategy is done. But at this point of time, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the management is towards utilizing India for the globe.
Just one clarification for exports or even for new products. Automotive Axles will be the entity for supplying either for India or globally, right? Because, I mean, in case of, say, new parent, you know, they have multiple ventures. Sometimes the product comes in the listed, sometimes it doesn't. So just trying to understand, you know, the product categories which Meritor is into and for we also cater to. We'll be the sole entity from that point of view, right?
See, if you ask me whether sole entity, the entity has a different meaning because we have from one side of our joint venture partner, Bharat Forge Exports, on the other side, Cummins, and another partner exports is there. But one thing please understand, the capability what Automotive Axles has in terms of axles manufacturing, none of the other side has. So if it is going to be related to axles and brakes, you can trust assured that it will be, the manufacturing will be at Automotive Axles only.
But the other JV in India, the private entity, they are primarily into servicing and marketing. They don't have any manufacturing base.
No, they don't have any manufacturing, but they have a strong engineering presence. the product is coming out from them, the IP is controlled by them, and the product application, see, it's not just selling the product manufacturing from India, the application and service support globally for those applications is all being drawn from the other company. It's not just a servicing company, but it's basically a company which designs, develops the product and convert into the manufacturing for India.
Okay. Wish you good luck. Thank you very much.
Really appreciate your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Sridhar Kalani from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I just have a few follow-up questions. First thing that I would like to understand is that if the commodity prices rises, then you have a pass-through effect, which is generally with a lag. Now, when now the prices are correcting itself, so in terms of percentage, if you could give us a guidance as to how much your top line would also be affected.
Ranga, you want to answer?
No, I didn't get your last sentence. The commodity softens. Can you repeat the question?
But if the commodity prices now softens, it corrects, then say suppose if commodity prices falls by say 5%, then your top line, I also believe, will be affected because of the pass-through agreements that you have with your customers?
Yeah, quite naturally. You know, that definitely will be there. As effect, we have to take it into the system. Obviously, that will have a correction to that extent in the top line as well as in the material cost.
Right. So my question was like, say if it's 1%, if it corrects, then your top line shall be affected by an equivalent percent or a little higher because there's obviously a processing cost involved and other costs also involved?
No. It's actually a purely commodity price. There is no other cost that will get impacted when the commodity prices changes. And secondly, I just want clarity. I want to give it to you. You must be knowing, but they're just clarifying it. So we measure it in terms of the number of axles we supply, a number of brakes we supply. The commodity is more a market conditions, okay? But more or less, there will be a very little, very small fluctuations might be there in the top line, but margins are well protected. I don't think we have any concern on it. So we are more focusing on it in terms of the volumes and the commodity is quite natural to the market conditions. So.
Okay. And the second question follow-up is on the exports. Like if you could if it's possible, if you could share to which markets you are currently exporting and once Cummins comes into the picture, to which the possibility of other markets that will open up?
If you again look at the exports from India, you know, Meritor presence is fully there in North America, South America, China, Europe, Australia. Currently, if you ask me where are you exporting, we are not exporting the full axle, but we are exporting the systems and subsystems to China, to North America, to Europe, a little quantity to South America. South America is very, very competitive and they are doing really good. But what is happening is in the last couple of months, the amount of impact that we have seen on the C5 is having a huge impact for everybody to take the decision. While there are favorable factors like that, cost of living is going up, the fuel prices is going up, the labor price is going up, the logistics cost is had a huge impact in the last couple of years. Of course, that market is softening. So we are doing for every region because we are selling the products which are we have very specific capability that we have developed in automotive action.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And one last question on the status of open offer from Cummins, since it was at a fairly lower price. So if you could just say, like, what is the status of that? Any comments on those, if you could make? And, like, is the company via its open offer or in future, is it looking to increase stake?
Ranga, you can answer.
The voice is very... very blurred, so I'm not able to hear the question. Sorry, can I repeat, sir?
Sure, sir. So I just wanted to understand the status of open offer from Cummins since it was at a fairly lower price. And is there a possibility of they increasing stake in the company more in future?
No, we don't have any such information on hand at this moment of time. it's a procedure as per the SEBI guideline they're following here. So obviously we had to wait and watch. We have no information nor any kind of guess from our side what they're going to do.
Right, sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Radha. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you can hear me.
Hello, sir. Congratulations to the entire management team for such good results. So my first question was regarding exports. So I believe in exports, apart from Meritor, we have two major clients, that is Volvo Thailand, and also you mentioned UD Trucks in your opening remarks. So yes, given that this is one of the major drivers for our growth, so is there any other customer addition to this list?
Okay, we have secured the business of Volvo and Thailand way back in the year 2018 for supplying brakes and axle from our competition. And this is a customer which Meritor globally was not servicing well. If you look at our strategy today, Meritor has plants in China, in Australia, Europe, South America, and we don't go and compete with them in other regions where we want to supply. While we are continuously working, Nagaraj and team is continuously working on innovation to identify the products along with the engineering to see that what more we can do it for S12 Volvo, now Uditech. Both the same company, ma'am. Volvo has been taken over by Isuzu globally, the Uditech brand. Now the Uditech, which was part of Volvo, now is part of become Isuzu. So we are continuing to work with them to find out what and similarly to other customers which is not Meritor entity. We will not go and compete with other areas where Meritor is already servicing them. In those cases, we'll be only supplying the components and subsystem from here so that last mile connectivity can be there. Hope this clarified your question.
Yes, sir. Also, continuing the same question. So from the total revenue, what is the total direct and indirect exports for first half FY 23?
I wish to be able to share, but normally, as you said, the CFO has expressed in earlier thing, we have a policy of not sharing the segment-wise sales, or we don't give the breakup, ma'am.
Okay, sir. I believe that we have a lot of new product launches in pipeline. And given that we are venturing into LCV, ICV space, so could you give us some comments on what are the how many product launches are expected in FY23, and from that, how much has been done in the first half?
Let me take back a little from FY20 when the BS6 migration is done. You all know that we presented it. We have launched four different platforms. Almost more than 35 different part numbers for the customers in the new platform. Almost every other product what we have been supplying in PS4, we have made that obsolete and gone into the new launches, which was giving more efficiency, better cost, and of course, better reliability for the product. You all know that with migration from BS6, most of the customers' demand for doubling up the warranty has become a mandatory, and Meritor has been successful in launching the product. That is why we are seeing that post BS6, our growth has been steady and it's almost faster. At this point of time, for some of the ICVs, we are launching the product. There are two more platforms which the team is working between Nagaraj and our engineering team is working, and we'll be launching those two platforms for the ICV segment to penetrate. The team is doing a preliminary product validation, product application supports, and all. Maybe by middle of FY23, the first quarter end, we'll be launching those products.
Understood, sir. Also, in this quarter, we have seen that there is significant improvement in margins, and a lot of it is also coming from reduction in employee and other expenses. So few of the factors that we have been working on was automation, digitization, and of course, some operational efficiency and also lower freight costs must have contributed to this, but is there anything else also that has contributed that maybe I'm missing out?
Nagaraj, you want to answer this? I think the team is doing so many initiatives, including the reducing the scrap in the plant, improving the reliability. I think Nagaraj, you will give, you can give some, throw some light on the area, what you're doing for conversion reduction.
You know, there are a couple of things, you know, as Muthu mentioned, you know, one is the, we have been continuously working on the productivity improvement. You know, these are all the standard things where we are looking at, can we line, run the line to the production rate? Can we improve the, you know, automation by, you know, multi-manning the machine? So, and also we are looking at how we can improve the yield. As a part of, you know, earlier we were talking about every step, how can we go ahead and minimize the wastage or minimize the rejection. Those things, we continuously work on that, and that has really contributed for, you know, maintaining or even optimizing our conversion cost.
Okay, sir. Just one last question. With respect to Cummins acquisition, so on the management side, I believe that the automotive axles management will continue to remain independent. But apart from that, what kind of changes can we expect on the management level?
Ranga, you want to address the...
Yeah. See, at this moment of time, Ken Hogan, he is our Cummins Meritor Global global head, and Muthu Kumar is that is the India head, and of course at automotive axle level, me and Nagaraj continues in operations finance it respectively. At this moment of time, this is what it is there today. And so as we go along, any changes, all of you naturally will come to know. At this moment of time, we don't have any other information.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on.
I just wanted to let all the ladies know. The management changes of acquisition of Cummins Meritor is it's a different thing, but we have very clearly committed that none of our customers, none of our employees, none of our shareholders will have any impact on this, and our continuing to focus on customer, focus on continue on innovation, focus on continue on the various programs that we have for profitability improvement, and of course people are our key. While the market has seen a lot amount of exits in the last couple of years, particularly post-COVID and the people, we have highest engagement of people and our team is working intact. So the management changes can happen at a different level, but in terms of the operation, in terms of running the business, in terms of the core system, we continue to be governed by our current Cummins Meritor system, and we'll continue to work on this. So I just want to reassure you that these management changes are not going to put us into any of the impact which will have impact onto our either our customer deliveries or in terms of the quality or in terms of running the business efficiently.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Sashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I just wanted to check, you know, incrementally for MHCV passenger domain, the orders are flowing in the e-mobility space or the electric buses. So how does our content per vehicle change in the electric buses versus the traditional petrol, diesel or CNG buses?
Maybe you may have to remove your talking from a headphone or something. Your voice is very... lot more cracking. Can you repeat it, sir?
Yeah, so I'm asking that, you know, in the let's see, the passenger vehicle domain, a lot of new orders are flowing in the electric buses domain, right? So how does our content per vehicle changes for an electric bus versus a traditional, you know, IC run buses?
Got it. See, the there's a government announcement that government is going to buy about 45,000 to 55,000 buses in this year. And, of course, predominant of that is going to be electrical. At this point of time, if you look at the Indian electrical vehicle for buses, most of them are remote mounted and we are present. Our regular axles are being used. For example, the Ashok Leyland electric vehicle, our axles are being used as a remote mounted configuration. We are also working with a lot more new companies who are into this business. and continue to see with how we can present. So while we know that the buses are going to come in more, we are continuing to make sure that our we are not getting impacted because of this, and we continue to grow in that segment also. I can say that today in India, there are more than about 25 companies which are working on electrification of the vehicle, be it a truck, be it an LNG, or be it buses and all. At least I would proudly say that more than 50% of the content we are available.
So apart from Tata Motors, we are there with Electra, Hyundai, or maybe GP Motor also, because these guys are also putting new orders in the electric bus domain.
Yeah, Tata Motors make their own axles. JBM, not to say they are importing, but we are working closely to see that how we can penetrate into those markets. But Tata Motors, as you rightly said, they have their own capabilities and they are using it. However, for e-axles, we are working with all customers because we have a capability, and we are trying to see that how we can penetrate into that. But it's too early for the e-axle market to come in India, not only in India, globally, and it's going to take its own time. One of the survey says by 2032, 15% of the market will be electrified in MNSTV. So, long way to go, but your organization is preparing itself that even if the launch is going to be there. For ladies and gentlemen, for your information, I just wanted to let you all know that we are in every segment of the new power that is going to come, whether it is a hydrogen fuel cell, whether it's the hydrogen, whether it's the remote mounted electrification or battery operated EV. The company is giving solutions to the customer to see that we are present in everything.
So you mentioned e-axle is an option is not available in India as of today. So none of the OEMs are using it.
E-axle as an option is available in India. It is being evaluated. It is being tested. It's an option available in India, but at this point in time, OEMs are contemplating at what time we need to do. See, as long as the government is giving a subsidy and it's going to be available. See, at the end of the day, whether it's an e-axle or remote mounted, the customers have to decide, and he will decide only when the business case is going to be better. So it becomes a very, very imperative need of OEM, us, the systems provider, to see that it's not only a question of affordable by the people, but at the same time, the business case also should make sense to them.
Can you throw some light how expensive it is vis-a-vis the traditional action?
Sorry, that's too early. I will refer this question. But at the end of the day, it is going to be expensive, but we are working to see that the total cost of ownership is better, is what we are looking at.
So secondly, your initial remarks, you mentioned that in the tonnage-wise, we had already attained a peak this year, right, in the MSCV domain. So next year, given that we are guiding for some 15% volume growth for the industry, so in that case, can we underperform, given that the tonnage growth might not be that great?
No, there are, see, next year, the number-wise, the 468, what has been achieved in FY, is what people are saying. When I say next year is 23-24, FY24. So they are predicting that it will cross that number. But what I'm saying is, in terms of tonnage, the number of the vehicles which has higher tonnage is substantially gone up, which is definitely, it is even current year if we are crossing the FY18 tonnage. This is what the prediction is.
Okay, so we might still grow in line with the industry next year as well, right? So 15 to 20.
Yeah, the industry is moving towards the tractor trailer, 55-ton vehicle, which were not available earlier. The axle load rating changes have made in all 37 tons into 41 tons. So if you see that there is a 10 to 15% increase in tonnage as an average has happened between FY18 to now for the same number of vehicles.
Right. And sir, one last thing. As per your vision 2025, what is the margin range that you're working with? Are you targeting?
I think, Ranga, you have shown it in the previous or previous slide.
Which one?
He's asking about FY25 margin.
No, so I'm asking about FY25, your vision document. So what is the margin that you're targeting?
Yeah, I know. That's what you are asking about, our EBITDA target in FY25.
So we are very aspirational in terms of the growth. As I said, there are two things, you know. Definitely, our aspiration to grow is always be there. If we really see if the market grows, definitely the margin will go along with that market. So, surely we have growth prospect. That's what in the Mission 25 really driving is all about. All the initiatives to grow revenue as well as the operational excellence to bring the cost competitiveness. You'll definitely see our company is performing well. The market is going up. Definitely we are there in terms of expectations.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks again for the opportunity.
Sir, being on the call, Mr. Muthukumar is there, Cummins Meritor Chief for India. My request or my message is to convey the way we are taking efforts internally, the way we have our strategy, vision, we have our e-mobility or hydrogen-driven vehicles, every products we are having. The market, we as an investor are not able to get the right valuation. The reason being, you are the only company which is having manufacturing your own base and marketing also done by a parent and other group organization. So it is giving little bit discounting to the valuation. So with the change in parent, Cummins coming in, if we can convey the message from people like us, minority shareholders, because there is a IP that can be parked in parent company and you can charge technology fees or royalty or whatever. But this local marketing done in a different organization, manufacturing done in a different organization, that is not the existed actually that type of any example or trend in the Indian stock market. If you look at whether it's a Cummins, they have 100% subsidiaries. But whatever Cummins India is producing, that has been delivered and marketed by Cummins India only. So I would request to convey this message to the board, Cummins board, please.
Thank you, Mr. Kothari, for bringing that to our notice and your concern. I just wanted to, while we will definitely convey your the message, your perceptions about this to the board of both the JV partners, I also would like to reiterate that what we are doing is completely as per the process and law, and believe me, it's going to be beneficial for us. I think this process has been evaluated by both the JV partners to make sure that it brings more and more transparency into the business and more conversion to India. But however, we have taken note of your concerns and feedback, which we will definitely take it back to the board of the company. Thank you, Mr. Kothari, for the feedback.
Basically, sir, you transparently disclose the numbers, so we don't have any doubt on numbers. Point is, this type of arrangement always creates discomfort in the minds of minority shareholders. So that's the message I would like to convey.
No, I fully understand, and your concerns are definitely we will take it in the right spirits and then take it up with the management.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Sailesh Raja for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you all for attending this session. We especially thank the Automotive Axles team for their time. Mr. Sir, would you like to make any closing comments?
Yes. Thank you very much. I think thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for all of you for joining this call. I profusely thank all of you for the confidence that you have kept in the organization and kept on the leadership team, and your continuous support is the one which makes us to perform. Trust me and believe me that this acquisition by Cummins into this company is going to bring a lot more technology, a lot more turnaround from the organization, which is going to be for good. You all know that Cummins has a very strong aspiration. It's not on the top line revenue, bottom line, everything is there, but the destination zero, which makes a Mother Earth a better place to live than what we are today and in our journey. So your company will continue to invest on sustainability. The company will continue to make sure that all the products and services we produce will meet the sustainability standards in the days to come. Once again, thanks, Shailesh, for organizing this. Thanks, everyone, for taking time to join with us. With this small note, I wish every one of you a very, very happy and prosperous new year. And let's look at that, how the next year is going to turn around and make all of us much more profitable and at the same time, much more satisfied human. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Batlivala & Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.